In Jesus' most agonizing moments before his crucifixion, he commanded Peter, James, and John to watch and pray. Jesus then went on to moments of fervent prayer in the garden. Unfortunately, those disciples failed in their assignment, and Jesus found them sleeping instead of praying. In this study, evangelist Scott Pauley will lead us and challenge us to watch and pray, to pray faith-filled prayer for God to move and work in our generation. Be sure to listen after the study for details about a special prayer resource Scott is making available through this series. And now, let's join Scott Pauley.
How is it with your soul today, my friend? You know, we give so much attention to the physical aspects of our life, the material, the temporal, and sadly enough, we give so little attention to the part of us that's going to last forever. That's the real you, way down deep inside where nobody goes but you and God. And a part of that eternal nature is referred to in Scripture as your soul. It's the same word that we get our word psyche from. It's where you think, it's where you feel, and it's where you choose. It has intellect, it has emotion, it has will. It's what makes you in every aspect a real individual, uniquely made by God and uniquely able to respond to God. When we last left the disciples in Mark chapter number 14, they were sleeping in the garden. You remember the story. In fact, the Bible said that they were just so overwhelmed, they could not even watch 1 hour. And Jesus repeatedly is trying to get them to watch and pray. We return today to Mark chapter 14 because I want to look at one aspect of man's nature. Remember, we established that in Mark 14, the word soul is found, the word spirit is found, and the word flesh is found. It really corresponds with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. So it's my conviction from Scripture that man has a three-part nature, reflecting, of course, the way God made him in his own image. I think one of the great cross-references for this is found in the book of Hebrews. A famous verse about Scripture, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you see the distinction made again between the soul and the spirit? And we'll come back to the spirit of man, but let's concentrate on the soul today because this is the first thing Jesus mentions, the first word we find. Verse number 33, He taketh with Him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. It's very important to realize Jesus had a soul. He was all man. He had intellect to think. He had real emotions to feel. He had a will to choose. He was not a robot. He was God in a body. So the God-man, literally, not 50% God and 50% man, but 100% God and 100% man, and the perfection of both. Sometimes people talk about an individual that's a good person, and they say, oh, that's a good soul. Well, the reality is, all of us are fallen in our souls. Our whole nature is fallen because of sin and because of the curse, but not so Christ. He had the perfect mind. He had the perfect way to feel, the perfect will, because he was the perfect man. And yet, this is very important to understand, he felt as deeply as we feel. I quoted to you in our last study that our high priest is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points like as we are. Well, here's a great example of that. Notice the wording. In verse 33, he was sore amazed. In verse 33, he was very heavy. And in verse 34, he was exceeding sorrowful. I don't know about you, that sounds like real emotion. And not just real emotion, raw emotion. The perfect man had them, and I want you to know you're going to have them. maybe today you're dealing with overwhelming emotion. I want to caution you, because if you let your emotions run your life, they will ruin your life. You'll ride a roller coaster up and down, in and out, on and off, hot and cold, all the time. Notice what Jesus did with his overwhelming emotions. He took them to prayer. He literally gave them vent directly to the Father. Usually when we get overwhelmed with our emotions, we vent to each other. That's one thing that makes social media so popular today. We love to just air grievances. That's not the best thing to do. No, take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the one person who can actually do something about it. You remember, even the psalmist talked about making his complaint to the Lord. Did you know heaven has a complaint department? That's right. Heaven has a complaint department. It's prayer. Are you troubled today? Are you weary? Are you struggling? In the words of Scripture, are you sore amazed, very heavy, and exceeding sorrowful? Well, I want you to know you can take all of that to God in prayer. Overwhelming emotions will come, but when they come, they're either going to draw you nearer to God or they're going to drive you further away from God. Don't let that happen. Don't let them become a wedge between you and the Lord. Let them be a prod that nudges you nearer and nearer to God. Let me show you the cross-reference to this passage in Mark chapter 14, recorded for us in Luke chapter number 22, because I think it's very insightful. The Bible says, Luke 22, verse 39, "And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him." Oh, this is powerful. God will give you strength as you pray. "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them," and hear this phrase carefully, Luke 22, 45, "sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." Have you ever been there? Have you ever been so weary with it all that you just thought, I'm just going to go to bed and hopefully it'll be better when I wake up tomorrow? We've all been there. That's where they were. They weren't just sleeping because they were tired. They were sleeping because they were sorrowful. Their emotion, their soul had overcome them. Let me tell you what you got to do. At those moments, you've got to run to the Lord. Don't look for some escape from reality. Don't look to just find release or relief somewhere. Find refuge in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 5 gives us a little picture of this moment in Gethsemane, in the heart and mind of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 7 says, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he'd offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared." Do you hear that phrase, strong crying and tears? I don't know about you, that sounds like real human raw emotion to me. It matters what you do when your soul gets overwhelmed. Oh, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I'm going to tell you, the greatest thing you can do today is drag your emotions, kicking and screaming if need be, into the presence of your Heavenly Father. Go into the garden, into the inner chamber with Him today, and just lay it all out. You don't have to impress him. You can impress him. Don't worry about how it sounds. Just pour out your heart to the Lord. And as you do, you'll find that the Lord comes to strengthen your soul. Oh, dear friend, whatever you're dealing with today, watch and pray.
Are you guilty of the sin of prayerlessness? Do you know the mechanics of prayer, the form, the right words, but struggle to pray, to have a consistent prayer life? Scott would like to provide a resource for you that he believes can help create habits of prayer in your life. His resource, 30 Days of Prayer, is available for download on our website, enjoyingthejourney.org, and also in the show notes. We thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us for each lesson from this series. And may the Lord help us as we seek to have a consistent prayer life.